Good morning.
Morning.
I thought you'd be back to the 50s. Oh, you got home last night. How was it?
Great.
Hot. Hot. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, big guy. Nice to have you here. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, say good morning, okay? You guys are exactly why I had people shake, because I didn't want you to feel so stuck out here. Nice to have you here. I remember the days when I had a baby, but my wife had to take care of those babies all by herself because I was working. You're lucky to have a fella there. Hey, a couple of announcements. Veggie Stand is open July and August, but our friend Elsa Carlson's having back surgery. She's going to need some help because she's the one who kind of organized Chuck and carried the jellies and the jams and the organized the baked goods and told them when to set up tables. Anyway, if you can help out with the veggie stand, give Elsa a call, all right? And that's a wonderful ministry we have going here, so, but she's going to need some help. After worship today. This week is the busiest week in the church because we have Vacation Bible School. And so after coffee hour, if you could stay and help for a few minutes to take down the chairs and the tables and get set up for Vacation Bible School, it would be appreciated. This is a wonderful ministry, and it takes lots and lots and lots of work, and there's lots and lots and lots of people that help out, so thanks in advance. But it's probably one of the neater things we do, so if you can help, that'd be good. One note on the worship service. If you look at the opening litany, it says, the earth is the Lord's leader and everything in it, all. If you don't say all, I won't say leader, okay? All right, I just wanted to make that note so we can get that straight. This is the day the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice.
And be glad in it. Yeah. You're a wonderful addition to our congregation.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I should tell you something. Dale, stand up a second. I should tell you something about Dale. Stand up. Dale, when he was a kid, went to the Lutheran church. You must have had a pastor who just gave hellfire and damnation. Yep. So you were scared to go there, right?
Well, I probably deserved it.
So he became a Methodist and went to the Methodist church for years and years and years. When you moved up here, what?
Two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And I've never been the same.
Yeah. He came to this church with fear and trepidation, and now you're here every week.
Every day.
And you're full of enthusiasm.
Hey, happy.
Yeah.
We discussed that, you know.
Yeah.
What is happiness? This is just one reason.
One reason. Good. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love and for the deep-seated joy that we carry with us in our lives. Even though the waves toss us and turn us about and the winds, storm winds blow, we know that we are standing on the solid rock of your love and your care and your support. Send your spirit today as we hear about missions. Send your spirit today as we hear about Dara and her family. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of all of your children around the world. And so bless us as we worship, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to pass us the blessing box around, and we're going to receive a special offering for Dara and her work. So you'll hear about that. And so when you see the blessing box go by, you know that that offering will be going to support her mission, her mission work. Let's join in singing our opening hymn, Jesus Loves the Little Children. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Join in the opening litany. The earth is the Lord's.
And everything in it.
Faithful God, you have blessed us in so many ways.
We will not forget your goodness.
Your love and grace are our daily companions.
Rejoice in our journey with you.
Lord Jesus, you were moved with compassion in the face of suffering.
Soften our hearts. Make us a compassionate people.
Lord Jesus, on a crowded mountainside, you fed the hungry.
What you have given us, help us ensure that everyone has food.
Lord Jesus, you stooped to bring hope to the leper.
Make us never too busy to bring hope to the hopeless.
Lord Jesus, you displayed your love for us in your life and your death.
Save us from cynicism and help us live sacrificially.
Lord Jesus, by your actions, you brought transformation to the world.
By your power, help us to be agents of change in the places of need.
In your name,
amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day.
O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the choir to lead us.
Thank you, choir. And happy Father's Day. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge all the fathers and what an important role you play in your children's lives. So happy Father's Day. Our first reading today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For Paul, baptism is a powerful bond that unites people not only with God, but with other believers. Those who call themselves children of God experience a transformation that removes prejudices of race, social class, or gender in favor of true unity in Christ. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Our psalm is from Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28, and we'll read responsively, and please respond in the bold print. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you, but you, that's your response. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
In the midst of the assembly,
I will praise you.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the eighth chapter of St. Luke. Jesus' mission includes foreigners, and his authority extends to the casting out of demons. Some who witnessed Jesus' work are seized with confusion and fear, but the man who was healed is commissioned to give testimony of God's mercy and power. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man.
For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Jesus Loves Me," 595.
Good morning. I said I would never do this again. You know what it's like. Famous last words. But I have a really dear friend of mine who lives in Mozambique, if you can imagine. And our church has supported her. And because this is Mission Sunday at our church, and because this is the best week we have in our church, Vacation Bible School, for some of us, I was talked into presenting this today. So thanks for listening. I hope I don't cry. I'll get through it. This church has a wonderful history of benevolence. As you came into the church this morning, you saw the bulletin board out there with a tree on. That is our benevolence tree. We call our program, God's Work, Our Hands. And a couple of years ago, we were asked for the committees of our church to come up with a list of 5 global and 5 local that our church would support throughout the year. Our committee, the committee I serve on, is Mission Evangelism. It's in charge of Vacation Bible School along with other things. But we really wanted to find a missionary, someone out in the field that we could support. And I submitted Dara Hillstrom's name. and she was picked. So for several years, we have supported her. These are Dara's words from her blog. So all the while that I'm doing this, you are going to hear her words. We are simply God's servant, by whom you were led to believe. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do, for we are partners working together for God. And you are God's field, and you are also God's building, using the gifts that God gave us. About 3 weeks ago, this whole process started when I sent Pastor Jim an email, and he came to me and he said, "Your email, it made me have tears." So it proves he reads his emails. I said, "Good." And he said, "I think you should present Chad and Dara Nenny's story on Sunday." Dara says of herself, "I am Dara Jean Hillstrom Vandenborsch. I'm on a journey. I've walked through the valley and have come out victorious on the other side. I'm still a work in progress, but I have support." For some of us, this is the best week in church. During Vacation Bible School, we always have a mission, and like I said before, we are supporting Dara this year. I first met Dara when we retired and moved to Longville. We joined the church up there, and her mom and dad became good friends. Dara had finished college. She was a nurse, which she'll tell you she knew she was going to be a nurse since she was 12 years old. Her specialty, palliative and hospice care, and that takes a special person. She had worked a couple years in Minnesota by then in the Mayo Clinic system, but didn't like Minnesota winters, was getting really sick of them, and looked around and found that in Phoenix, Arizona, she could transfer her experience from the Mayo Clinic to their Mayo Clinic. So she moved to the Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, Arizona. Joined a church, and it just so happens that that church was organizing a group from their church to go on the Mercy Ship to Mozambique. Now, if you know anything about the Mercy Ship, they travel, they dock at a port, and then people bring their kids onto the ship to have surgery. On the days that Dara wasn't doing surgery, she and a group of the nurses would go out and organize little clinics where people would bring their ill family to. Most of the people that they serviced in those clinics had complications of AIDS, HIV positive, and whatever the complications are of AIDS. On one of her visits out into the bush in one of these clinics, she was holding a young mother who had a year old in her arms, and she passed away while Dara was holding her. And her last words to Dara were, "Please, guard my child. Take care of her. She is yours." If you can imagine. So Dara stayed there and helped, but if you're on the Mercy Ship, you can't stay for any extended period of time. You have to come back to the United States just to decompress from what you've been through. So she had to leave the little girl named Nettie. She had to leave her there and come back to the United States. And she writes, "So as this journey is ending, I am praying for the next. One of the greatest blessings I have experienced over the course of the last year has been support, encouragement, and enthusiasm. So many of you have shared with me. Thank you for making this dream of mine come true. Thank you for being part of my experience through this crazy thing called a blog. Praise be to God that all was so impactful and such blessings to me." And she says, "I think I've been avoiding this final post because of the reality it brings that my adventure has come to an end. I can't believe that I've already been back to the States for a month. I had a wonderful 2 weeks back in Minnesota, visiting many friends and family. I have now been settled back in Phoenix. I had my first full week of work. The transition back to my life here has been much more challenging than I could imagine. I knew that Africa had touched my heart, but I am not sure there is any way to know really how grand the effects will be. I often find myself longing to be back on the Mercy African trip or in the village where I lived. That was written in 2007. That is when her journey started. And now you'll see in this blog excerpt from 2009 what is happening. Enough talk. Let's make a difference. It will make a difference. It will. I believe we have to do something. I have to do something. I guarantee whatever God lays on your heart to do, it will not be done in vain. He will honor you for your awareness and obedience. Whatever joy are we looking for then to make a difference in the life of a child affected by AIDS? Imagine, what if being an AIDS orphan was your story, your child's story, your best friend's story? What would you do? How would you help? And so she decides to see how she can go back. So she finds a mission that is close to where she was, and she has a friend, Lauren, that is there now at the mission. And between the two of them, they get organized, and much to the chagrin of Dara's parents, she goes back by herself to the mission. Her one main idea was she was going to find Nettie, because that dying wish of that mother was in her heart. And when she finds Nettie, her worst nightmares were true. And she writes, Nettie is living with her father, uncared for and ill. She has a worm-infested belly, a head of ringworms, just healed burns all over her feet, open sores, underweight, malaria, and pneumonia. And of course, Dara can't take her. She's with her father, and all her father really wanted Nettie for was to sell her. That's what happens in Mozambique. So Dara starts trying to figure out how she can at least get Nettie to be able to live at the mission and to heal her. And the way that she and Lauren do this is they make the father understand that Nettie isn't worth anything to him if she's not healthy. And if he lets them take her, they'll make her healthy. So they moved Nettie to the first full day was in June 2010 that Nettie spent at the mission with Dara. And the whole process of Dara fighting the government, fighting Nettie's father, started. Near to impossible for a young, unmarried white girl, they call them pinkies, white girl to adopt an African Mozambican. She and my friends will know how many times I sent, please play for Nettie, pray that the papers will be signed. They were hoping that they could just get travel papers signed so that Dara could bring Nettie back, just back for a little bit, and it was utterly ridiculous. They would go to court, and the judge would be on vacation. So again, I'd tell my friends, devastation, she has to wait. And then pretty soon it would all start over again, and she'd go to court, and for some reason the judge wouldn't show up. Corruption. The father didn't want Nettie, and he stopped coming to the court hearings, and that was the whole turning point, because the judge then saw they weren't going to get money, and the father didn't want Nettie, so we might as well get the process going. Well, in when I was reading through Dara's blogs, I found something that I thought was really appropriate to read. This is a letter she wrote to her dad on Father's Day. "Yes, of course, Dad. I wanted to be like you. Of course I do. I learned a lot from you, Dad." Dara's father was a cross-country coach in high school, and they ran together. "A whole lot more than just pacing myself. I learned stick-to-itness. I learned about positive thinking and the power of positive thinking. I learned discipline, and I learned to push through my pain. I learned to get up and go." "Seems that all these things that I learned as I admired you, Dad, are coming hard handy now. Before I returned to Mozambique, a dear friend said to me, 'Dara, I think you're about to run the marathon of your life.' And your dad taught you how. At mile 22, you may hit the wall, and you may feel like you're starting over. The last 4 miles will be the most difficult. 'I am running another marathon,' she says, 'Dad. I may have hit the wall hard, but I am still going, and it is going to be worth it. Thanks, Dad, for helping me.'" Fast forward in the story, and I'll bring you a little romance to this story. Comes Christmas time 2012, and Dara has been told that if she can get to Johannesburg, the papers are waiting for her and Nettie, and they can travel home for Christmas. So she leaves her little town in northern Mozambique, and with an armed four-car caravan, and I mean armed, with big guns, because you never know what you're going to meet on the road in Mozambique, they travel from their little town all the way down to Johannesburg, go to the American embassy, and guess what? No papers. Papers aren't there. She's got her air flight. She's ready for both of them paid for, and they told her at the embassy, "Just leave. There's no papers here. We can't help you." So can you imagine what she felt like? She calls her mom, and her mom says, "Enough is enough." And her mom calls Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken, and that's about a week before Christmas. And Amy takes action. Amy has a really good supporter, and he is one of the head people in the Hershey Candy Company. And he happens to be, now if this isn't a God thing, he happens to be in Mozambique at that time buying whatever he needs to buy for the Hershey factories. And after Dara had gone to the embassy, gone back to her hotel, not having a clue what she was going to do, she gets a call from the head of this Hershey Candy Company. And he said, "Get back to the embassy. The papers are there." And she's, "No, they're not. I was just there 5 minutes ago. They're not." "Go," he said. "You need to get there." She said, "I have no way. I can't." And he said, "Wait outside your hotel. I've got somebody who will come and get you." And his name is Chad. So Dara goes out, and Dara's like 6 feet tall. Chad's taller. There's Chad standing at the door waiting for you, for her. Chad is a missionary in Mozambique and has been for many years. He records the dialects of Mozambique in a little recorder that I'll show you later, and hires Mozambicans to come and record in their own dialect the songs that we know and the verses that we know. And that's how he passes the Christian religion or Christian songs on to these people. Chad is Dara's ride to the airport. She's never seen him before, did not know anything about him. They get her to the airport. She comes home, but there starts a romance. She says when she gets home to her mom, I met a man. And Dee is excited, but how? And so Dara tells her that story, and her mom says, "Oh, yeah, right. This will be something." When she gets back to Mozambique, they do have a relationship. They get together. He travels all the way up to where she is, And in 2013, they were married. They have adopted Nettie. They have all the papers. They came back and were married. We were lucky enough to go to their reception. It's a miracle. It's all God. They just know God was in their relationship. They were here all for about 6 months this winter, and because we were gone, we couldn't connect her with you. And that's one reason why when Pastor Jim said, "Would you do this?" I had to tell you about her. And there's even more miracles. They have a new house. Well, you would laugh. They are out in the bush. They have no electricity, no water, but they have a new house. Roll your eyes. She was planting herbs a couple weeks ago. She dug into a tarantula nest. Chad said, "Dara, you have to remember where you are. You're not in Minnesota. You don't just dig a garden any place here." She has a new car. And I asked her, "Mom, what kind of car?" And she said, "Well, Sandy, I wouldn't drive it down to the end of our driveway and back." But she is driving out on, you know, heaven only knows where she goes. And she told her mom, "Well, I drive it as far as I can. I have to make sure I have enough gas to get back. And then we walk." But she started her palliative care and hospice care clinic in Mozambique. And if you look out on a table by the front, there is a printout about her, and it tells you more about her program. They dug the first hole for the clinic. It started. You know, she says, how does this all happen? Well, it's out of their hands. She's trained girls that are helping her with it. She says, "Sometimes you just have to dive in, don't you? Be like Peter and get out of the boat. All the while, there may be fear and trembling, but with eyes fixed on Jesus, take a step, just a baby step. Just walk, keep on walking." I would like to share with you the bag that she gives, and then I'm done. They present to all their people that they see this little recorder. This is Chad's missionary, and it will start playing. Totally charged by solar. It goes in the belly of this little animal. And so when she goes out to see her patients, they get this, and they get this bag of toothpaste, lotions, and mouthwash, anything for cleanliness. So, thank you. Come help us at Vacation Bible School, and I'm glad I could share Dara's story with you.
Two things I would add. One is, when I first read the blog, I think I told you that my eyes started leaking. The second thing was, when I was at the synod gathering, a lady, strange lady, came up to me and said, "Are you the pastor in Malmo?" I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "Well, I'm Dara's mother." And I'm trying to remember who Dara is. And then all of a sudden, "Oh, Dara's the missionary." And I told her that her daughter is the strongest believer I've ever read about. And you must be so proud of her for following the call. And she started crying. And I started crying. That time I really cried. My eyes just didn't leak, okay? And she gave me the biggest hug, because I think it must hurt for family to send your daughter to some place like Mozambique. Ugh. Anyway, thanks for sharing the story.
Thank you.
And thank you for helping support that work. She makes people who are dying comfortable, and they don't die alone. And, as tough a job as it is, everybody is somebody, whether you live in Malmo or Minnesota or Mozambique. So I hope that helps clarify that. Let's join in singing our next hymn, and we'll pass our offering baskets around. Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you hold in your hand the blessing.
Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Gracious God, we pray for the church. Let's take a moment of silence, remembering our church. Keep it faithful to you so that your people here stand and witness to proclaim how much you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the well-being of creation. Keep it faithful to you so that your people tend and nurture plants and animals, lands, seas, and skies. Restore the vitality of lands and waters suffering from human misuse or natural disaster. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations. Work in and through governments, humanitarian organizations, and local partnerships to cast out the forces of evil and establish your life and peace. Lord, in your mercy, pray for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Be with those who know demons of any kind and clothe them with Christ's freedom and healing. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation. Establish and renew our faith. Strengthen our ministries. Especially we pray for our vacation Bible school and our veggie stand work. And bless those preparing for baptism. Bless fathers and all who provide fatherly care in their vocation to raise up our children in love. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your blessing to be with Darren and Chad and Nettie and their ministry in Mozambique. Thank you for willing people like this who follow your lead and step up in the faith and trust in you. And Lord, on this Father's Day, we pray for our families. Keep them close to you this day and always. Oh God, you have called the saints your own. Gather us with them into your kingdom in the promise of life forever with you. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life.
And so we gather at this holy table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. At his last meal, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given to you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will have individual cups, so we'll hand you the bread. Please take the wine or the grape juice found in the center and drop the cups in the baskets at the corner. Again, all are welcome. Come, eat and drink.
Thank you.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the sign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 860. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.